Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis.
And I'm Peter Sagal. It's wonderful in this time of deep partisan divide and governmental gridlock to see two politicians get together and celebrate getting something done. It inspired hope, although it was a little unsettling when they started necking at the top of the Ferris wheel. We'll ask who is getting up close and personal, plus New Age guru Deepak Chopra lends us his aura. And Bill Curtis, filling in for Carl Castle, draws some conclusions from his 4 weeks doing this show.
Something is going terribly wrong in American society.
We'll ask what's really wrong on our quiz right after this hour's news.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Korva Coleman. There have been clashes this weekend between Syrian rebels and Hezbollah fighters in Lebanon. Hezbollah supports the Syrian government of Bashar al-Assad, which has been battling Syrian rebels for 2 years. The Syrian city of Qusair, near the Lebanese border, held by Syrian rebels, now remains under siege by Syrian government forces. The BBC's Jim Muir reports civilians have little water, food, or medicine.
Activists reported at least 7 airstrikes on rebel-held parts of al-Qusair as clashes continued between the embattled rebels and the encircling army forces and Hezbollah. Reports from the nearby Lebanese border area said there was also an overnight clash between Hezbollah and rebel fighters, possibly just inside Lebanon itself, where rockets fired by rebels have been regularly hitting areas of the northern Bekaa Valley where Hezbollah holds sway. Russia's move to block a statement by the UN Security Council expressing concern about the situation in al-Qusair, on the grounds that no such statement was issued when the town fell to the rebels in the first place, has disappointed those who thought that the agreement between the Russians and Americans to sponsor a peace conference on Syria might lead to cooperation at the UN.
The BBC's Jim Muir. After more than a year of aggressive moves, China put on a friendly face at a regional security conference. As NPR's Frank Langfitt reports, the warmer tone comes in advance of a summit this week in California between President Obama and Chinese President Xi Jinping.
China's People's Liberation Army came to the Shangri-La dialogue in Singapore with a bigger, more senior delegation, and one that was reportedly much more engaged than in the past. Quote, China's development and prosperity is a major opportunity instead of a challenge or even threat, Lieutenant General Qi Jianguo, the Army's Deputy Chief of General Staff, told a session according to Reuters. The reassuring words follow a series of confrontations between China and its neighbors in the East and South China Seas that has rattled the region. China says it has merely reacted to provocations from other countries. China's neighbors see the moves as a power play to take ultimate control of disputed islands and waters. Frank Langfitt, NPR News, Shanghai.
The fund that provides disability payments to Americans is running out of money. NPR's Sam Sanders reports a new study finds disability payments might have to be cut as early as 2016.
This May, almost 11 million people received disability payments from the government. The Disability Trust Fund, though, has been running a deficit since 2009, and payroll tax reductions over the last few years have only made the problem worse. A study from the federal government says the Disability Trust Fund will be completely depleted by 2016. When that happens, disability payments will have to decrease by 20%, or payroll taxes will have to go up. The average monthly disability payment is just over $977. Sam Sanders, NPR News.
A fire north of Los Angeles has grown. The Angeles National Forest fire is now more than 40 square miles. This is NPR. There is devastating flooding in Central Europe. Authorities are rushing to evacuate people and put up warnings. In the Czech Republic, soldiers are erecting barriers in Prague as the Vltava River rises. It's flowing into Old Town Prague, the historic city center, filled with buildings and churches. Some of them date back to the 1300s. On June 2nd, 60 years ago, Britain's Queen Elizabeth arrived at Westminster Abbey wearing a tiara. She left wearing a diamond-encrusted crown. Although she'd been monarch for 16 months, it was her formal coronation at Westminster Abbey. Larry Miller reports.
3 million people lined London's streets as the gilded horse-drawn royal coach carried Elizabeth to Westminster Abbey. Inside the abbey, the 26-year-old moved slowly to the throne, trailing an 18-foot-long red robe. Elizabeth vowed she would be a good queen.
So help me God.
Then from her subjects, God save the queen. The coronation was the first time a majority of the UK watched an event live on TV. Peter Dimmock directed the coverage. He told the BBC he used temperamental pre-war equipment.
I don't know whether somebody out there was looking after us, but nothing broke down.
The now 87-year-old queen returns to the Abbey Tuesday for a special ceremony. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
Former NBA All-Star player Mookie Blaylock has been upgraded to serious condition following a Friday night car crash near Atlanta. Police say his SUV crossed over the center line and struck a van head-on. A passenger in the van died. The driver was injured. Blaylock was lifted to an Atlanta-area hospital in critical condition. I'm Corva Coleman, NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm legendary anchorman Bill Curtis. Filling in for Carl Kessel. And here is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks, everybody. Fun show for you today. We got Deepak Chopra on. He'll be coming on later to adjust our chakras. But first, we're very excited, first of all, that our own Carl Kessel will be coming back with us next week. But we are going to miss Bill Curtis. Bill, what has it been like to step down from your perch as a legendary anchorman and do our show?
Well, Peter, I'll go back to my mansion, slip out of the finest silk into even finer silk, and reflect on how much I've learned about the simple pleasures from you common folk.
Glad we could provide that experience for you. If you'd like to join us in our rough-hewn games, give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Eric Rapley. I live in Stillwater, Oklahoma.
Oh, Oklahoma. What do you do there?
I'm a graduate student. I earned my PhD in accounting this summer.
Oh, you did?
A PhD?
Yeah, it sounds awesome, doesn't it?
It does.
It does. It's triple the fun.
So what do you, what
that's
do,
creative
what,
accounting, I guess.
Yeah, what does one do with a doctorate in accounting?
Well, you know, the usual thing. You think host the Oscars, Navy SEAL sniper.
Absolutely.
Work at H&R Block. But
any of those. They're all open to you.
Yeah, but I'm going to be a professor at University of North Texas.
Well, that's great. Well, I'm so glad to have you on the show. Welcome. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First up, an author and humorist whose latest book is Alpha Better Juice, Roy Blunt Jr. Next, the woman behind the syndicated advice column Ask Amy, it's Amy Dickinson.
Hey, Eric.
Finally, for the first time on our show, a Jeopardy super champion whose newest book is Because I Said So, Mr. Ken Jennings. Hey there. Eric, you ready to play?
I think so.
You're going to play Who's Bill this time. Bo Curtis, filling in once more for Carl Kessel, is going to recreate for you three quotations from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain just two of them, you'll win our prize. Carl's voice on your home answering machine. Are you ready to go?
Yep.
All right. Your first quote comes from Mad Magazine, commenting on a photo op in New Jersey this week.
It was a rare display of both bipartisanship and unbridled bromance.
The bromantic couple in question was New Jersey Governor Chris Christie and whom?
President Obama.
Indeed, President Obama. Yes, here we go. 7 months after they first looked into each other's eyes on the wind-swept shores of post-Sandy New Jersey, the two star-crossed politicians met again on the reconstructed boardwalk. President Obama brought himself a cotton candy and said, "Hello, Chris." And the governor looked him in the eyes and said, "Hey, you gonna finish that?"
The hurricane swept away all their inhibitions.
Yep.
Well, this is
unbridled romance. It makes me think of two wild horses.
The president and the governor took this turn at a carnival game where you have five chances to throw a football through a tire. If you manage it, you win an erection that lasts more than 4 hours. But Obama tries this, and he whiffs five times. Can't do it. Christie gets up, you know, the supposedly the unathletic of the pair. Zing! Gets it. You know?
Or maybe Obama, knowing that, you know, it's nerve-wracking for Chris Christie to be on a mandate with the leader of the free world, you know.
A mandate.
He misses five times on purpose, you know. Yeah. And then, well, why don't you take a shot, Chris?
Oh, maybe you could win that for me, Chris. And he did.
Did he get like a...
He did, and he won a teddy bear. Did you see this? He won a teddy bear for the president.
Could you win the big panda for me, Governor Christie?
Chris Christie has become so notorious in the GOP for buddying up to Obama that he's become kind of a byword. James Inhofe of Oklahoma was asked if he would, you know, be seen with the president or reach out to the president as they took care of the tornado damage. And he said, "Oh, no, I'm not going to pull a Chris Christie," quote unquote, which is ironic because before Christie lost all that weight, pulling Chris Christie was the big competition at the state fair. Eric, are you ready for your next quote?
I am, yeah.
All right. Now, Eric, the next quote comes from the mayor of Toronto responding to reporters at a press conference on Wednesday.
"I guess we don't have any questions about the flood this morning."
No. Turns out most of the questions that the mayor of Toronto got that day were about the fact that he allegedly did what?
Drug use. Isn't it cocaine?
Close enough. He smoked crack, allegedly. Toronto Mayor Rob Ford is on a one-man epic crusade to make sure we never make any Canada is boring jokes again. Last week, the Toronto Star ran a story saying two of the reporters had seen a video of the mayor smoking crack with some drug dealer friends of his, one of whom has since been mysteriously killed.
You know, of all cities, I mean, most mayors of... You know, I would think, sure, they smoke crack, but Toronto?
Yeah, it seems unusual.
Yeah.
Crack is hard. I mean, you know, Ted Kennedy, we know, liked to drink, and President Obama has admitted to smoking a lot of grass in his youth, and we're like, okay, none of us are perfect, we have vices, but nobody's ever said, "Oh, wow, man, tough day, I need some crack to take the edge off." The crack puts the edge on. It's not a gateway drug, it's the drug you're on when you've gone through all the gateways. That's where you end up.
I like that a politician is embracing new media.
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, he did not smoke crack, you know, and not put it on the internet. So.
That's true.
Transparency is what they call it.
Here, Eric, is your last quote. It's from Fox News contributor Juan Williams.
"Something is going terribly wrong in American society."
Mr. Williams was referring to a new study that says more and more women are the primary what in their households?
Breadwinner.
Yes, or wage earner. Very good, yes. A report out this week says that 4 in 10 American households now have a woman as the primary breadwinner, which is amazing because we didn't know there were that many ways to win bread.
There you go, yeah. Get out there and whip me some bread and whip me some of them mustard sardines, too.
I don't even know where to start. I don't know.
Well, this is true. I mean, this number of female heads of household earning the money has quadrupled since the 1960s. A lot of men objected angrily to this news. They say it's the role of men to be the person who supports the family. They were also angry because they couldn't find the remote and it was time for SportsCenter.
And I love how the reaction to this was so overtly sexist. It was kind of unbelievable.
Oh, you would say that.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing about women, is they're constantly saying things are sexist.
Isn't that just like them?
Isn't that just like a woman?
We're laughing all the way to the bank, my friend.
Let's get away from this one. It's skewing in a bad direction.
Yeah. Bill, how did Eric do in our quiz?
Eric did Oklahoma State proud. Eric was perfect.
There you go.
Very nice, Eric.
Well done, Eric. Thanks so much for playing. Thank you. Bye-bye. We want to remind everybody they can join us here most weeks at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago. For tickets and more information, go to WBEZ.org, and you can find a link at our website, waitwait.npr.org. Tickets for our upcoming show in Asheville, North Carolina, a.k.a. the Cesspool of Sin, happens on August 1st, and they go on sale this Thursday. Right now, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Ken, it's every employee's nightmare. This week, a very angry letter of reprimand from the boss got leaked to the AP. And in this letter, the employee is berated for not turning in expense reports and missing meetings and not even answering his phone when he was needed. What organization did this very humiliated employee work for?
I assume it's the U.S. government. Can I just say that?
No, it isn't.
Oh, it's not. It's private sector.
Sort of.
It's the military. It's
sort of. They're sort of opposed to the U.S. government.
Oh, it's some kind of terrorist. It's Al Qaeda.
It's Al Qaeda. Very good. Yes.
Wow.
In the letter, a council of Al Qaeda senior managers take a terrorist by the name of Mokhtar Belmokhtar to task for his failings. There are actually 30 bullet points in the letter, and of course, they're
bullets.
Yeah. Among Mokhtar's slip-ups, taking money to buy weapons and not buying weapons, failing to file accurate expense reports. Most people don't know this, but the life of a terrorist, 50% paperwork.
He keeps screwing up everybody's lunch orders.
It's true. They berated him for engaging in dirty office politics, namely, quote, backbiting, name-calling, and sneering.
Ooh.
What? You can't sneer in Al-Qaeda?
You'd think that would be...
That's why I want to go into Al-Qaeda, to sneer.
You'd think that'd be the first thing you learn. You'd take sneering lessons. Ooh. The worst things about Belmokhtar, though, in this letter of reprimand, he never participated in team-building activities like Casual Friday, Murder Wednesday, and he insisted on taking off all the Jewish holidays. Coming up, what's in your wallet? It's our Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and the National Association of Realtors, an advocate for home ownership. More at houselogic.com/homeownership. Lumber Liquidators, offering a variety of sustainably harvested flooring, including pre-finished and stained, at 1-800-HARDWOOD. And Esurance, an Allstate company with Coverage Counseling, a car insurance tool for helping customers select coverage limits, at esurance.com. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis, filling in for Carl Kasell. We're playing this week with Ken Jennings, Amy Dickinson, and Roy Blount Jr. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Right now it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Bluff the listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter. This is Chris in Los Angeles.
Hey, Chris. How are things in L.A.?
Oh, they're going pretty well. It's pretty sunny today.
I bet it is. It always is. And what do you do there?
Here I am a college student studying psychology.
Oh, really? So are you going to, like, help people with their problems?
Well, I don't know if I'm going to keep it as my major, actually, but...
what an awful
thought. I'm going to be studying Buddhism in India.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
And what does one do with a degree in Buddhism?
I guess you meditate, really.
Yeah. Sounds like a life. Well, Chris, it's great to have you with us. You're going to play the game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Bill, what is Christopher's topic?
Money. It's a gas.
Does anybody remember money? You know, we got PayPal, we got credit cards, we got barter. But we used to have money, and the people who make money want it to be more interesting so that we're fall in love with money again. Our panelists are going to tell you three stories of a government effort to make cash cool again. Guess the true story, you'll win Carl's voice on your home answering machine or voicemail. You ready to play?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's hear first from Roy Blount Jr.
Who would think that money would ever need aromatic enhancement? Down through the ages, the intrinsic attraction of cold, hard cash has been such that if it smelled like cat pee, people would take it. But in today's brave new digital world, cash, and I mean actual fully negotiable smackers, needs sweetening, at least in Canada. 2 years ago, the Canadian Treasury released a new $100 bill. It's made of some sort of plastic. But Canada went a step further, or so it would seem, because ever since the new banknotes appeared, Canadians have been swearing that they, the banknotes I mean, smell like maple syrup. Of course, the Canadian government denies having added any fragrance at all. What Treasury wants to admit having printed legal tender that's so insecure it has to be perfumed? But hundreds of letters keep coming in to the Bank of Canada. One of my bills has lost its scent, wrote one worried Canadian. Is it still good?
Maple syrup money from Roy Blount Jr. Your next story of what's current in currency comes from Amy Dickinson.
Lately, Queen Elizabeth's face hasn't been in enough British pockets. At least that's the conclusion of the British Treasury. Use of the coin of the realm has decreased 30% in the last year alone, and this has currency experts worried. Queen Elizabeth's profile appears on every English pence, shilling, and pound. After discussing how to save their unused currency, it was decided that the Queen had to go. So off with her head! But who or what would replace her? Iconic English images were considered: a sprig of heather, a corgi dog, an uncorrected overbite. Fortunately, the Chancellor of the Exchequer knows who really controls any country's money supply: 13-year-old girls. His own tween daughter, Gwendolyn, made the suggestion that might save the world's most famous currency: replace Queen Elizabeth's face with that of the mega-famous boy band One Direction. So, people, this summer, England will roll out its first new money in over 800 years, featuring the famous mop-top faces of this century's answer to the Beatles, and they are so money.
Ooh. One Direction, their faces on British currency. Your last story of Mo Money, possibly with Mo Problems, comes from Ken Jennings.
Meet the Treasury Department's new official mascot for the U.S. dollar, Perry the Pyramid, a cartoon version of the glowing eye atop a pyramid thing on the back of the $1 bill. But surprisingly, a life-size version of a creepy 18th century Masonic symbol has not been a popular choice. We see Perry as a living piece of history, says a spokeswoman for the Bureau of Engraving and Printing, but it's true that children haven't taken him the way we hoped. It's a disaster, says Rondell Jenkins, who appears at D.C. area schools dressed as Perry. I go into a kindergarten wearing the pyramid costume, and the kids are just terrified. I've had tears, screaming fits. One little man just started punching me in the eye part of the costume as hard as he could. That's where my face goes. The Treasury is scrambling to redesign Perry, even bringing in the makers of TV's My Little Pony to soften his hard lines and glowering stare. The new Perry will have a cuter, twinklier eye with long lashes and might even carry a skateboard. But if a revamped dollar still makes kids holler, it might just be time for Perry to cash out.
Aww. All right.
Perry.
Here are three ways in which some government tried, intentionally or not, to make their money more interesting. From Roy Blunt Jr., the Canadian $100 bill smelling like maple syrup, that most Canadian of fragrances. From Amy Dickinson, the British government considering putting One Direction, the boy band, on their currency. Or from Ken Jennings, Perry the Pyramid, a walking, talking, terrifying one-eyed pyramid to get kids interested in currency. Which of these is the real story of currency in the news?
Well, I really hope it's not One Direction. I dated a lovely Canadian girl, and I have many Canadian friends, and I know they're a bunch of maple-loving loonies. So I'm going to go with A.
You're going to go with Roy's story of the maple syrup-smelling $100 bill.
You got it.
All right. Well, we actually spoke to the reporter who uncovered this story.
Some people said if you rubbed our new currency, it has this scent of maple syrup.
Very good. That was Dean Beebe, a Canadian press reporter who's been obeying the old journalistic mantra, follow the syrup-scented money. Congratulations. You got it right, Chris.
Thank you.
Had the real story. You earned a point for him, and you've won our prize. Carl Castle, we'll record the greeting on your home voicemail. Well done.
Thank you.
Thanks for playing with us.
Maple syrup time. Maple syrup time.
And now the game where we ask very wise people about very silly things. We've had a lot of impressive people as our guests on this show. Nobel Prize winners, senators, governors, two presidents. But today, for the first time ever, we are honored to welcome a man who has the titles Lord of Immortality and a keeper of perfect health for the world. That would be Dr. Deepak Chopra, of course. Deepak, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. So first things first, I knew a lot about you, best-selling author, extraordinarily influential physician of the mind and body. I did not know you were a Lord of Immortality. That was a title you got from whom exactly?
It was from Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, the person who brought transcendental meditation to the world.
Right. And what sort of privileges does being a Lord of Immortality get you?
Nobody takes you seriously.
Oh, that's it.
Forever.
Really?
Forever.
In the single scene, can you go up to someone and be like, how would you like to be the Lady of Immortality? Does that work?
Well, it does work sometimes.
All right, well, there you go. You've done so much and you're so well known, but we were trying to think of a quick way to describe you, and one of the terms that came up was New Age Guru. Do you like that, or is that not right for you?
Why don't you spell guru?
G-U-R-U.
Uh-huh. You got it. Mm-hmm. G-U-R-U.
Holy cow. Yeah. My mind is expanded.
I know. Wow.
I understand all those terrible George Harrison songs.
Yeah.
I never really was me before. Now.
I feel better already. One thing I found out about you that I did not know, and I'm ashamed for not knowing this, is that before you started your career in Eastern medicine and alternative medicine, you were an extremely accomplished physician. You were...
I still am.
No, excuse me.
I still am.
All right, I'm getting into trouble here.
I'm studying medicine, endocrinology. I keep my license in Massachusetts and California. So I'm both an internist and a witch doctor at the same time.
Oh, yeah. How does one dress as a combination internist and witch doctor?
Well, the witch doctor doesn't dress at all.
Oh, no. Now, how did you make that transition? Were you dissatisfied with Western medicine? Did you just feel it wasn't providing enough for your patients?
My training was in neuroendocrinology, which is the study of brain chemicals.
Yes.
So in the 70s, when I was a fellow, it became obvious to me that there was a connection between what happens in our mind, in our consciousness, and our biology. I can give your high blood pressure just on the phone, by criticizing you. On the other hand, I can send a tweet to somebody in China and give them a dopamine hit.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you mean. That you actually, through emotional, well, just interaction with people, you could affect their brain chemistry, is what you're
That's
saying.
That's right.
Okay, let's try this. I have a black eye, whacked my head. I've had a pretty bad week in general. Can you make me feel better?
Give yourself another black eye.
Why?
Because then you'll say things can't get worse, and you'll accept that.
No, Peter, why are you whacking yourself in the head? Well, Deepak Chopra told me to.
And besides, it's all an illusion anyway.
What's an illusion?
The whole material world, it doesn't actually exist. Matter is not material. It's made up of atoms that are moving at lightning speeds around huge empty spaces. So as you go beyond the appearance of molecules, you end up with a subatomic world, and if you go beyond that, you end up with nothing. Nothing is the source of everything.
But most people can't make a living like that.
I've made a living for 35 years selling words.
That's true. We wanted to ask you about a bunch of things, because you get grouped in with a lot of other people in a lot of different kinds of alternative medicine, and I wanted to see what you thought of certain things we've heard of and whether you think these things have any value. For example, the neti pot. You know what? This is the pot you pour water through your nostrils?
Yeah. The neti pot is very useful in people who have bronchospasm or have chronic sinus irritation, and it's now become very available in almost every drugstore.
Isn't it really bizarre, though, to pour water in your nostril and have it come out the other one?
You brush your teeth, don't you, every day?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's not my nostril. All right, how about aromatherapy?
Aromatherapy is extremely useful. If you want to go to sleep at night and you have an aroma that calms your mind, it'll help you sleep. It's very useful for things like hypertension, anxiety, psychosomatic disorders, irritable bowel syndrome.
You know what I do to quiet my cravings,
what?
Doctor? Donuts.
Yes.
Yeah.
You just smell them?
Donuts. No, I ingest them.
All right, one more thing. How about that head-on headache medicine? Apply directly to the forehead. That seems compelling.
Head-on headache medicine? I never heard of that.
You know something? The ads was like, apply directly to the forehead. Apply directly to the forehead.
It's I'm
like
actually happy that Dr. Deepak Chopra does not know infomercials.
Yeah, I know. That's important. I want to ask you, you seem, you know, in your many, many books and the appearances you do, very calm, very understanding. Is there anything that totally flips you out, that just makes you mad?
Not really. I can't remember the last time that happened to me.
Really?
Let's see if we can try.
All right, let's go for it. All right. You're a frequent guest on Oprah. Have you considered...
Yeah, I, in fact, told her if she married me, she could be Oprah Chopra.
Or you could be Deepak Winfrey, but that wouldn't be as funny, I guess.
No, that wouldn't be funny.
Well, Dr. Deepak Chopra, we're delighted to talk to you, and we've invited you here today to play a game we're calling...
Yes, We Can.
The Cannes Film Festival was last week, and that means one thing. NPR hosts pronouncing Cannes 18 different ways. Cannes. Can. Cannes. But one thing you don't hear about is the marché. That's where new, not necessarily great films get bought and sold outside of the big competition. We're going to ask you about three titles, real movies that were sold or up for sale at the film festival. Get two questions right. You win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl Castle's voice on their voicemail. Bill, who is Deepak Chopra playing for?
Akhil and Monica Vora of Washington, D.C.
All right, ready? Now, cop films are always big. Which of these was up for sale? Was it A, Kopposites, like Freaky Friday, but with a cop and a criminal who switch bodies? B, an action thriller about a homeless detective called Hobocop? Or C, a tearjerker police romance called Coppin' a Feel?
I'll go for B.
You're going to go for B, an action thriller about a homeless detective called Hobocop?
That's right.
No, actually, it was Kopposites. It's the cop and the criminal.
Kopposites.
Kopposites. There you are. Now, you always need a good disaster movie for your theater or cable channel, and you could have bought which of these at Cannes? Was it A, Sharknado, in which Los Angeles is hit by tornadoes of sharks? B, The Day Before Tomorrow, about a volcano that erupts on an asteroid headed for a preschool? Or C, see if we can do this right, Drizzle! Who will rise up to save us when it lightly rains for days?
B.
You're going to go for B, The Day Before Tomorrow, which is about a volcano that erupts on an asteroid that's headed straight for a preschool?
I'd go for B. I'm just guessing.
All right. No, I'm afraid it was Sharknado, about tornadoes of sharks. The tagline is, enough said. All right, last chance. Let's see if we can get you a right answer here. You may remember the 1996 horror movie called Santa Claus, that's C-L-A-W-S. Now, there is a brand new movie up for sale this year with that same title, Santa Claus, C-L-A-W-S. What is the plot this time? A, Santa has to claw himself out from clinical depression. B, Christmas is nearly ruined when Santa decides to finally deliver kittens as presents and has a severe allergic reaction. Or C, Santa is a werewolf and he eats all the reindeer except Rudolph.
C, I'll go for C.
You're going to go for C? Santa's eaten all the reindeer. He's hunting down... I love it. He's hunting down Rudolph. And Rudolph is like, damn it, my nose, it's too bright.
I like that we're seeing the kind of movies that Dr. Chopra would want to see.
I understand that. No, actually, it was B, Christmas is nearly ruined when Santa tries to give kittens and he has a allergic reaction, but then the kittens save Christmas or something. Bill, how did Deepak Chopra do in our quiz?
Well, in the material world... But since it's all an illusion anyway,
lots of immortality will always fail in the material world.
It's true. Deepak Chopra's new book is Brotherhood, co-written with his brother. He's hosting the upcoming Sages and Scientists Symposium. You can find more information at ChopraFoundation.org. Deepak Chopra, a pleasure to speak to you. Thank you so much for joining us. In just a minute, Bill shows off his slap shot in our listener limerick challenge. That's 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to join us on the air. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Subaru, introducing the all-new 2014 Forester. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. Learn more at Subaru.com. Angie's List, providing reviews of local roofers, painters, landscapers, and plumbers to keep the consumer informed. More at Angie'sList.com. Arizona State University Online, more than 60 undergraduate and graduate online degree programs at radio.asu.edu, and CarMax, offering more than 35,000 used cars and trucks online and in stores from coast to coast. Learn more at CarMax.com. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis, filling in for Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Roy Blunt Jr., Amy Dickinson, and Ken Jennings. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you so much. In just a minute, Bill's meditation mantra is rhyme. In our listener limerick challenge, if you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, it's time for a game that we're calling...
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Okay, panel, Bill is going to read you each three headlines, one of which we found in a newspaper or online recently. Pick the real one. You get a point. Here we go. Ken, your headline comes from the Courier-Journal of Kentucky about an incident at a bookstore. Was it?
House painter realizes 50 Shades of Grey, not about what he thought.
Or?
Man accused of shoplifting, book on ethics.
Or?
Breaking news. Bookstore still in business.
I don't think it's that third one. I'm going to go with the ethics shoplifter.
You are right. Very good. The book was called Resolving Ethical Issues, and really, can you think of someone who needed it more? Amy, your headline is from the Los Angeles Times. It concerns the notorious traffic there. Was it?
Big rig carrying fruit crashes on 210 freeway, creates jam.
Or...
driver crashes while on cell phone, reporting another driver talking on cell phone.
Or,
horrific freeway crash, still not as bad as that movie crash.
You know, I think it's that first one about the jam.
You are right. Yeah. It was about the jam. You're just picking that. Roy, your headline comes from the news section of ultimateclassicrock.com. Was it?
79-year-old woman wakes from 5-year coma, demands Bob Seger tickets.
Or?
Man shot at Led Zeppelin concert urges doctors to get the lead out.
Or?
Steppenwolf singer steps on wolf.
I'm going to go with the number with the coma.
You are right. Very good. You want to buy Seger tickets? She awoke from her coma to the sound of thunder. All right, now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Amy, after visitors complained that it was just too hard to get up there, a tour group is considering installing a ladder where?
Oh, come on. Like Mount Everest?
Mount Everest,
no!
Yes.
A ladder? Nice.
This week marked the 60th anniversary of the first ascent of Everest by Sir Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay. Thousands have followed in their footsteps since then, but what about those times when only one set of footsteps appeared? That, my son, was when the Sherpas carried them. Because they paid to be carried.
Right.
So here's the thing. There's this one part. There's so many people going up on Everest, which is mostly a very high-altitude hike, but there is one place where you have to climb up this rock face. It's called Hillary's Step.
Well, God forbid.
God forbid. You should have to
Mount
climb.
Mount Everest, yeah.
And there's actually a huge backup there during the brief climbing season because everybody's waiting to climb up. So it's like, let's just put a ladder there, speed things along. The only problem is now the food court up at the summit is going to be so crowded. Ken, this week we learned about a North Carolina couple headed to Hawaii to have their baby. They're headed there because they want their baby to be delivered by what?
I did see this. They want the baby delivered by dolphins.
That's correct. It's dolphin-assisted childbirth.
Wow.
The couple will stay at the Sirius Institute, a group organized with the purpose of, quote, dolphinizing the planet and taking money from crazy people. The idea is that the couple will swim with a dolphin pod, they'll be there in the water, and when the time comes for the baby to be born, the dolphins will help with the birth. Mm. How will they do this? Presumably by being just as useless as every husband is at that point.
Right. No.
I happen to know about dolphins a little bit, which is that that's how they, you have a midwife dolphin who swims along with the expecting dolphin. And when the, because they breathe air, dolphins, you know.
I know that.
So
yes.
when the baby comes out, the midwife dolphin
wow.
flips it up in the air, so its first breath is of air and not water. Now, how they do with a baby, I don't know.
Right.
So you're telling me, like, this woman's going to give birth in the water, and the dolphin's going to flip the infant.
Now, but.
So they'll know the baby is born. Watching from the shore when all of a sudden it's like, oh, there she blows! Newborn infant! like a Polaris missile heading out of the
Do you guys remember back in the 50s when the dolphin would just have to swim back and forth in the waiting room?
Oh, it's terrible.
smoking cigarettes. Yeah. I mean,
and the dolphin hadn't shaved in like 3 days. So it's like a 5 o'clock shadow. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. But a dolphin is going to be a terrible birth coach for a human, though. It's like, okay, now breathe deeply through the top of your head. Not through the top of your head. What's your problem?
You got to get the shark in at the end to cut the cord, and then everybody's happy. And do the circumcision.
Oh, God. A shark moil. Here comes a little shark with a yarmulke. I love it.
Man, it's really great to be a dolphin. Dolphins get to play and splash around.
Oh, yes, we do. We love to
play all day and jump and
run. Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago, and our upcoming shows at Powell Hall in St. Louis, Missouri on June 27th, and at Tanglewood in Massachusetts, August 29th. Also, check out the latest How to Do Everything podcast. This week, Mike and Ian tell you how to help out a struggling employee in your office or terrorist cell. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Caitlin from Orlando, Florida.
Hey, Caitlin, how are things in Orlando?
Hot.
Oh, yeah, they're going to be that way for a while.
Yeah.
What do you do there?
I'm a tech writer.
Oh, really? So you write about technical things for technical people, I guess.
Yeah, it's boring.
Oh. Well, I'm glad you're so filled with enthusiasm for your job. Welcome to the show, Caitlin. You are going to play the Listener Limerick Challenge. Bill Curtis is going to read you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. Your job, fill in that last word or phrase correctly, and two of the limericks do that, you'll be a winner. Ready to play?
Yes.
Here is your first limerick.
Sometimes links to the subjects are rocky, like Magellan skates well, though he's stocky. You'll need more than luck, like skill with a puck. This school centers all classes on...
Hockey.
Yes, hockey. Well done. Mm. Hockey is a Canadian tradition like politeness or smoking crack. And now Cole Harbour High School is moving to an all-hockey curriculum. Hockey history, hockey physics, hockey glee club. Here's an example of hockey math. I just hit you four times in the head with my stick. Mm. Now how many teeth do you have left?
Hold on. Carry the one...
Ken's doing it. Ken's working calculating. On it. Yeah.
All right, here is your next limerick.
With this pet, I am never alone. I can find and then blow up a bone. The small unmanned plane arrives potty trained. As a pet, I have got my own...
Drone.
Yo. Yes! Very good. Very good. Good. Great news. For both lovers of pets and government surveillance, the company Falcor Systems has developed a, quote, pet drone that follows you around, much like a puppy does. It tracks your movements and films you at a safe distance, also like a puppy does. Developers say these pet drones will be perfect for extreme athletes who can use them to film, you know, base jumps, free falls, extreme skiing. But you'll need another drone to follow around the pet drone with little plastic baggies to pick up its pile of batteries. Here is your last limerick.
Though I load up the charcoal with skill, the bacteria I cannot kill. So it's like cooking meat on a hot toilet seat. Ooh. There are billions of germs on my...
Phil?
Phil? Not Phil.
Oh, I know Phil. Oh, yeah.
He's terrible. Let's hear this one again. I think you will get it.
Though I load up the charcoal with skill, the bacteria I cannot...
Grill. Yes, grill.
Grill.
Want a side of cholera with your bratwurst? According to British researchers, the average barbecue grill has more than twice as many germs as a toilet seat. This is because people clean their toilets, but not their grills. Mm. And you notice, like, guys, you got a grease fire, you don't have any water with you, there's nobody around.
Oh, no.
Bill, how did Caitlin do in our quiz?
She's a material girl in the material world. She got them all right.
Well done. Thank you so much for playing, Caitlin.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now it's time to move on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill in the blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Bill, can you give us the scores?
Ken and Roy have 4 each. Amy has 3.
Tight game.
It's only one away.
Yeah, okay. So, Amy, you are in third place. You're up first. The clock will start when I begin your first question, fill in the blank. On Tuesday, federal authorities busted a global currency exchange company for running a $6 billion blank operation.
Ponzi? No.
No, it was a money laundering operation. Oh. The White House, New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg, and Bloomberg's gun control group all received letters this week containing blank.
Ricin?
Yes. USDA officials are investigating how an unapproved strain of wheat that had been blanked turned up in Oregon.
Genetically altered?
Yes, genetically modified by Monsanto. No kill shelters in Chicago took in animals from Oklahoma this week to make room for pets displaced by the recent blanks there.
Tornadoes?
Yes, a Romanian man is suing an Orthodox church for failing to exorcise the demons who he says have been blanking.
The demons have been possessing him?
No, the demons have been farting in his home. Sure not him. Organizers who arranged for Dennis Rodman to visit North Korea said this week that blank had actually been their first choice.
Michael Jordan.
Yes, indeed. In the classic example of why you should not date in your workplace, Danica Patrick's boyfriend is in the doghouse for blanking.
Oh. Running her off the road?
Yes, crashing into her in the Coca-Cola 600. Things are going great when Danica Patrick and Ricky Stenhouse Jr., their friends get along, they like the same turtle wax, and then he had to go and bump her in the Coca-Cola 600, making her crash into another driver. Not to worry, though, not even the flame retardant suit she was wearing could extinguish the flame of their love. Bill, how did Amy do in our quiz?
She got 6 more points. That's 12 and a total of 15.
Well done. All right. We flipped a coin, and Ken is elected to go last. So, Roy, you are up next. Fill in the blank. President Obama said he would confront President Xi Jinping after hackers from blank accessed blueprints for U.S. weapon systems.
China.
Right. On Wednesday, NASDAQ was hit with a $10 million fine for violating securities laws with the IPO for social network blank.
Facebook.
Right. This year, for the first time, a vocabulary test was included as part of the national blank.
Huh. Spelling bee?
Spelling bee. A German woman was surprised to discover that the pranksters who kept ringing her doorbell at 3 a.m. were actually blank.
German.
No. A colony of ants. Because of Lance Armstrong's recent admissions of doping, Nike announced this week that it is severing ties with blank.
With his cancer organization.
Yeah, Livestrong it's called. Netflix declined to say how many subscribers had viewed the 4th season of the revived series Blank after it was posted online on Sunday.
Arrested Development.
Right. Sales skyrocket after shoppers noted that a tea kettle advertised on a JCPenney billboard blanked.
Looked like Hitler.
It did! This Michael Graves-designed tea kettle has a handle that looked like Hitler's hair and a little mustache-like knob on the top and a spout extended in that classic T-Heil pose. It sold out so quickly that JCPenney is now planning a World Tyrants line of products. Joseph Stalin mustache toothbrushes, Musso Linguini, and of course, Pol Potts. Bill, how did Roy do on our quiz?
Well, he did well. He got 6 points. That gives him 12 more points, and he has the lead with 16.
All right. And let me ask the famous question, how many then does Ken Jennings need to win?
6 to tie, 7 to win.
I don't know.
How do you play this game, he said?
Can I answer in the form of a question? It'll make me feel at ease.
I understand, Ken. This is for the game. Fill in the blank. In a $4.7 billion takeover deal, Smithfield Foods agreed to sell itself to a company in blank.
China.
Yes. The World Health Organization issued warnings this week about a new SARS-like blank.
Virus.
Yes. Union representatives announced plans to sue the Chicago Sun-Times after it fired all of its blanks on Thursday.
Photographers.
Right. A British man accused of shoplifting a chunk of raw beef said he only did it because blank.
Because his iguana was hungry.
No, because it reminded him of his grandmother. This week, Royal Caribbean became the latest company to have one of its blanks catch on fire while at sea.
Cruise ships.
Right, federal investigators worked to determine what caused the train to derail and explode in blank this week.
Baltimore?
Yes. The TV news crew in Maine reporting live about a missing person was interrupted by blank.
The missing person wandering through the shop.
Exactly right.
Hello.
Reporter Narm Karkos of WMTM News 8 was about to do his hard-hitting piece in the disappearance of Robert McDonough when the missing Robert McDonough wandered into the shot and said hi to everyone. Karkos abandoned the report, but was further frustrated when his segment about a kitten caught in a tree ended with a kitten hopping onto his shoulder, and his story about a local drought was rained out. Bill, how did Ken Jennings do in our quiz?
Well, Ken needed 6 to tie. He got 6, which happens to be exactly the number that Roy had. Yeah. So it's a tie.
Good. Wow. I could have made $1 million on Jeopardy.
I know.
What am I doing here?
In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists, now we've seen Obama and Christie making eyes at each other, what'll be the next big bromance? But first, let me tell you that support for our Chicago shows is provided by Hyatt Hotels in downtown Chicago. Booking information is at Hyatt.com. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Chevrolet, maker of the Volt, an electric car, also powered by gas to help drivers go the distance and then some. Details at ChevyVolt.com. The National Association of Realtors and an advocate for homeownership, more at HouseLogic.com/homeownership. Pimsleur Language Program, celebrating 50 years and offering audio courses in 50 languages for download. Available at Pimsleur.com. And Progressive Insurance, helping people shop for car insurance at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and Progressive.com. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Berman, Benevolent Overlord. Philip Godica writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Our assistant house manager is Tyler James Green. Our intern is Miles. When God closes a door, boss, he opens a window, boss. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Engineers include Les Dolarczyk and Muhammad Mao. Thanks to John Zajac at Chase Bank. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Eva Walchover and Emily Ecton. Technical directors from Lorna White. Our production coordinator is Robert Newhouse. Our senior producer is Ian Chillog. The executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mr. Michael Danforth. Now, panel, who will be the next big bromance? Roy Blunt Jr.
Chris and Brock are double dating with Dennis Rodman and Kim Jong-un. And they look over and they say, oh, look, here come Netanyahu and Justin. BB and the Bee.
Amy Dickinson.
Crack-smoking D.C. Mayor Marion Barry and the Mayor of Toronto. Now, if only they can think of something fun and recreational to do together.
Ken Jennings.
The next bromance is going to be Neil Patrick Harris and me. I have no joke. I just really want to hang out with Neil Patrick Harris.
And if any of those guys get together...
This is 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. It's 12 o'clock.